Howdy and welcome to the Yoga Better podcast, online radio for the health and consciousness curious. At Yoga Better, we love inquiry. And on this podcast, we put all of our favorite topics on the table, deconstruct and inquire into the hows and whys of every aspect of life. You can think of this as my yoga teacher and student training in radio form. We love your questions, and you can reach us on Facebook at Yoga Better Studio, on Instagram at Yoga Better Studio, and through email at andrew@yogabetter.com. Today's episode is a one-off experiment about a little project I started in 2011. It's called Write Love Month, and the idea is we turn February into a month of daily handwritten notes of love and appreciation. Maria Henning, a senior Yoga Better teacher and soon-to-be chief awesomeness officer, and I will share all about how it came to be, why it's so fun, and a bit about the mechanics of success for a 28-day project. Here we go.
Yeah, I wanted to... Well, I have questions for you about it.
What? I love questions.
But I figured it might be... I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure how you're structuring Write Love Month.
Ah.
But...
I can tell you that.
Okay. And so I figured this might be like a support system. Maybe this conversation about the story behind it and... Like, some of the questions I have are, you know, why is a skill of acknowledgement worth building? You know, what's... I've never seen you... Maybe I don't remember, but I've never seen you do something this structured about it. So, like, what's special about it this year, if it is different? And why is it important to you? How did you start the project? All that stuff.
Well, let me answer all those questions at the same time.
Okay.
Well, maybe history?
Are we recording now?
We're talking.
Oh, okay. I thought we were having a conversation first before recording.
Is free.
Okay, good.
This whole thing is a conversation.
Exactly. Okay, nice got about it.
This was a project for a personal growth workshop to do a project in the community. And I'd done that course before, and I did something with yogis. And in general, I get really excited when I do non-yoga stuff more and more every year because I spend, you know, 60 of my week hours on yoga stuff, and it's, even though I truly believe that the style we teach is for everybody, we are only reaching a very small sliver of humanity. So there's other stuff that's fun and nice about life that we can also do. So I do lots of non-yoga stuff. This was the genesis of this particular thinking. Was I asked my live-in girlfriend, baby mama, who...
Love that definition.
Who I wanted to marry big time, and I would ask her to marry me maybe four or five times a day, and she'd say no. And I just realized I should probably take a break from asking her to marry me. Just, you know, change tacks. And so I was...
Re-strategize a bit.
Exactly. And that whole week, I was just sitting back, what other strategy could I take instead of harassing... And I just asked, so one of my commitments to her is that I'm the man of her dreams. And I just, like the bracelet says, what would the man of her dreams do? And literally there was like a 5 second space in my head. And then this project, write 101 love poems in 101 days. Mm. Just that sentence came out.
What year is this?
This is 2011.
Okay.
And this was like the first week of May. And I just sort of groaned because I knew it was just such a good idea. And it's like this huge commitment. And part of my reticence was I'm, up until that point, and it's still, it's something I deal with, I'm notorious for not finishing. Mm. And when I was a kid, I would just rely on my talent and I could just get away with it. And so the rigor of doing something every single day for sure, when the younger I was, the worse I was at that. So also
not just for like a week, but for 101 days,
3.5 months.
Why that number?
It's
random.
Just 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
Fully formed idea. I didn't edit it. Didn't change that. I was just like, oh crap, I got to do that.
5 seconds between harassment thoughts.
Well, it was a week of pondering non-harassment strategies.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So I did that project and I had an identity as somebody who wouldn't finish it. Mm-hmm. And I had all these crazy breakthroughs. It's a beautiful, romantic, wonderful story. At the end of it, she proposed to me, which is awesome. And so, okay, now we're going to get married, and it's super fantastic and wonderful. And but I just did this huge project, all this extra energy and time and creativity. Every day I put it on a website and posted it on Facebook.
Wow.
So if I couldn't miss a day.
Right.
So I didn't miss a day for 101 days. What's next? I wanted something a little less rigorous and intense, mm-hmm. but still something that, like, I was... One of the things I got good at was loving her mm-hmm. every day. Like remembering why I loved her, saying it in new ways, remembering, like luxuriating in beautiful memories. So I just started writing her notes. So I'd buy mm-hmm. these nice letterpress cards with something silly on it. And then I'd write these pretty, you know, form notes. And what I realized I was doing is, and I mean, she'd love them. She would flip out over them. And
this is after the 101.
That's right. So we're married now, and I'm writing her notes, maybe one a week at most. It's not, mm-hmm. it's relatively consistent, but it's not like a daily thing. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed is she cherished them. Mm-hmm. Like she really, she saved all of them.
So I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I've seen a book.
Well, so I made that book for her so that she could put them in a place. But that was only because she like. She's like, I am not, these are my most precious things.
Yeah.
And it had never really occurred to me that a note like that could make a difference. So took this personal growth workshop, did this project, and we did it. There's maybe 150 people that did it in February 2012.
Oh, wow.
Just around the country, I got 3 letterpress card makers to send us cards. And there was a few things that I didn't do that I really wanted to do. It was still a success, and mm-hmm. every other year I do it and sort of maybe post a little bit about it, but it's always been for free. It's always just been for fun. And why this year is even sillier, I got a really nice present for my wife for Christmas, and I was then informed that it was going to arrive in February. I'd already spent the money, and I didn't quite know, okay, need to get her something. And so I just decided to write her a note every day from like the December 11th through Christmas. So 2 weeks of every day love and appreciation. And I got so jazzed about it again. Mm. And then I actually had the structure of this, of a bullet journal. And I work so much that So little of my time is non-work that it's not like I had issues scheduling stuff, and my work schedule is exactly the same every week. So I don't ever have to look at a schedule.
Right.
But I got this bullet journal and I started rigorously using it specifically for non-work stuff.
Okay, cool.
Only non-work stuff.
Like personal projects.
Exactly. And all of a sudden I had this structure and energy and a daily ritual of like looking at stuff that I cared about. And so I was already in the conversation of listing out things I was excited about, and I was
other than yoga.
Exactly, and I just got the bug to do it again this year.
Cool.
But if I was going to do it this year, we're going to involve as many businesses in the city as we could, and we're going to get the thing I wanted to do up mm-hmm. until this point, which was the unopenable box.
Oh.
Which it's being made right now as we speak, which is super exciting. So
unopenable box.
The unopenable box.
Really quick, I'm sad I missed a chance to make a pun about a love bug that got you to do it again this year.
Oh.
I'm sad about that. I'm going to get better at my reflexes for later.
It's like, if it's this week, there's a name for that. Esprit d'escalier.
Okay.
It's you remember your witty retort at the stairway after you leave the party?
Exactly. Well, thankfully, mine was only about a 45-second delay, so I'm getting better.
That's great.
Okay, good. Yeah. So what is the unopenable box?
Well, so maybe we can hit two birds with one stone. You asked about why is appreciation and acknowledgement so powerful when I was talking to my wife recently, who will be in one of these microphones often as a trio. You have that to look forward to, world.
Yes.
And, you know, this this really is the best time in our lives. It always feels like that. But then, you know, we both have, we all of our parents are still alive, and they are all saying, oh, this is the best time of your life. And their rationale is, it's so good when your kids are young, and you're young, and you can do anything you want, and your kids love you, and they care about you, and they care what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, there's real beauty in that, and that is 100% true. I can
see
that.
Sounds pretty awesome.
It's, by every metric, by every measurable metric, this is the most amazing period of our life. And then when I look around, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I love this period of my life. And they're, most of humanity is doing okay and not enjoying it.
Mm.
Enjoying that this is the most beautiful time in your life, like being able to acknowledge it, realize it, be present to it, is actually, there's two separate skills. So one of the reasons I think I'm really happy right now is I have developed I'm present for a living, right? I have to get in the present moment with all the people that I'm with, and I have to keep present to all the stuff that's going on in my life, or I would get sick and die from how much I work. So
definitely a topic to talk about later.
how not to get sick and die.
Yeah, from how
working.
Much you work.
So what I notice is that I am present to how beautiful and young my kids are, but I can also be present when the children aren't there. My life will be just as amazing when the kids aren't there. It will be different. But we have created this amazingness. And when you're not good at being present, children are a fantastic way of constantly orienting you to the fact that you're going to die soon. Right? They're growing so fast. Mm-hmm. Everything's changing so much. Their inexorable move to moving out of the house is so, like, in your face,
mm-hmm.
that you look around and it presences you. It's an external tool to presence you. And when you don't have that, like what I see with my parents and Andrea's parents, they're pretending like this isn't the best time of their life. But really all that's happening is they're not present. They're mm-hmm. not present to the fact that they have fingers and toes and that they could get on a plane to Paris today.
Right.
Right now.
And have a great time. And
totally have an amazing time. They're not
some good food and
they're
cry.
Not generative
mm-hmm.
of their life because they're not actually good at being present.
Hmm.
I, every year I get better at being present, and it's nice when there's really awesome stuff to enjoy, but you could like really savor the fact that your knee hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the gratitude is an access to being present, right? Mm-hmm. Just being grateful that you have fingers and toes.
Yep. And a knee that hurts.
And a knee that hurts. Whenever you're feeling down, just do, I have arms and legs dance. Because not having an arm or a leg is a little bit more of a bummer. If you have fewer than two arms and legs, do I have a stump dance? Like there's ways to celebrate.
Having limbs.
I have lips. I if you don't have lips, you get the idea. Like, so, okay. So there's this idea that wherever you are in your life, you could be present and you could be grateful, not like a positive spin on the crappy stuff in your life,
mm-hmm.
but I can be I can be grateful and present and accepting and still be in action working to change everything in my life. I'm constantly in action,
yep.
evolving and growing and changing stuff in my life. Okay, so everything in my life pretty much orients me to be shockingly self-absorbed and self-oriented. Even like, I teach because I want to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever, this is one of the foundations of any good, healthy mental practice. If you're ever feeling down or yucky or depressed, just stop and then go do something for somebody else.
Mm.
Like really something for somebody else, not for you. Just give yourself completely to a project that has nothing to do with you and you don't benefit from it.
And why does that make a difference?
Well, I can't speak to the mechanism, but it seems like that's a fundamental thing that all human beings need and want, is to know that they're making a difference with other human beings.
Hmm.
And it's miserable to be only in your own world.
Right.
Okay, so I go to the card store, and there's all these pretty cards, and I buy a silly card, and I sit down, and I start thinking about why why Maria and her trust and support of the style and her hard work and her brilliance, how has that impacted my life and how has that made a difference in my life? It's already changed me and you. Like, just like sitting in the space of like getting in this other person's world and stepping back with enough perspective, like, what has happened? How am I different for having had this person in my life?
And just for some context, I think we definitely need to do an introductory podcast. Yeah. Who are these people that are talking?
Right. Yeah,
but I've known you for now almost 10 years.
That's right.
Like, I was in your class when I was 16, which is crazy.
I love seeing skinny young people in my class and just think, is this the next Maria? Like,
was I skinny and young? That's the best acknowledgement. You could just stop right there.
Wait, you're saying I was skinny?
Exactly. No, but I was just thinking about that the other day, too. Like, oh, man, I was in this class when I was, like, a dumb 16-year-old.
It's been
so long.
Well, consider that who you are is given by who you were. Who you were was smart enough and had good enough to taste to be in that space. You were drawn to the style.
For sure.
And I bet if you could talk to you at 16, you'd be impressed. Mm. Compared to now, you were totally dumb. Except... it's the same how we grow. We grow in the ways we grow on what we have. You don't just like randomly get a new set of skills.
Right, right.
It's not linear, but it is iterative.
Yep.
So
I say dumb lovingly too.
Oh, I was an idiot. I didn't finish a book till I was a sophomore in high school. Like, I'd never read a book.
Wow, considering how much you read now, I'm very impressed.
Boys are super dumb anyway, but I was particularly super dumb in these certain ways. But then I go back and I read my writing or I listen to a video. Like, I was super funny, which is a form of intelligence. Like, you're putting stuff together and reshaping and with language.
Absolutely.
And free and, you know, and some very important. Who I am is given by that person for sure. Okay, so I just acknowledged the person that was sitting across from me. I didn't even say anything about it. I didn't compliment you. I didn't acknowledge you for anything. All I did is I created like the beginnings of a conversation. Who is Maria for me? Who am I for having Maria in my life? Okay, so I write this letter. It's the whole purpose of Write Letter Month is it's not a letter necessarily. It could be if you want, but it really a note. I use a note specifically because it could fit on a card. Mm-hmm. A small Hallmark card is plenty. If you come to the meetups or you come to the studio or any of the stationery stores in Houston, I have actually on the website we'll have a PDF of a how-to guide for how to.
Yeah, is it the one in here?
That's exactly right. So
I
that'll.
Liked it.
That's a quick read. You'll be able to read it in, I think, 10 minutes. And what are some good questions? How do you direct your attention? Because it's, for many of us, it's hard to even start that question. I'm only good at it now because I've practiced so much. Just thinking of good questions about how do I acknowledge Maria? I write some stuff. Who I used to be would be of two minds. One, I would constantly be trying to prove that I'm worth listening to and that I'm smart, that you should listen to me. And of course, what kind of person needs to do that? Somebody who really thought they were unworthy and unlovable and no one will ever listen to me because I'm nothing I have to say has any value. Like, those two things exist often in people. And you are a living proof that that person was wrong. If I died right now, I will have contributed something to the world. Not that I like made you, but that the fact that somebody as smart as you, who is as caring and as willing to work and is as insightful as you, gives any kind of shit what I have to say, like it's just proof that, okay, you're doing something right. That's hugely validating and peacemaking for me. Okay, so I write this note. I say something like that. part of who I used to be can't survive in your presence. Yeah. So this person I used to be that was full of self-doubt.
Okay.
And that nothing I ever, she just had no idea what I was saying.
I had to say it a few times.
Yeah, let me be eloquent. Well, this is the nice thing about notes is you can just reread sentences. So you can be as it doesn't have to, you can say it however you want. It doesn't have to be perfect.
But that part of you that didn't believe
so
that you had anything worth saying can't survive. Got it.
And as far as the business, whatever happens in the next year or 20 years, you and the business makes our life so much better. Okay, that was three sentences. I just wrote you a note.
Woo!
So she opens the note. She reads the note. What's that like for you, hearing me say that?
It's wonderful. It is. It's like a pleasant surprise a little bit. Like I wasn't expecting what you were going to say or how you were going to say it. I wasn't even expecting the acknowledgement in the first place.
Conversations don't go that way typically.
Right. And then hearing things that I've never heard before about me, who I am for you, is always validating is a good word. It's definitely presencing. I feel like time slowed down a little bit.
Yeah. You were in your head. Now you're someplace else.
Yeah. I felt myself smile, which is always lovely. I feel present to all the time we've spent together and all the things that we're creating and are excited about. Presence is a good word. Loved is a good word. Happy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, good. Because I want you to feel that way. And that's the whole purpose, right? Communication is a tool to deliver something. And the little sub-tool that we use in communication of acknowledgement and sharing and gratitude and high-fiving, it's all about, like, I want you to feel as good as you make me feel. So that's the whole month in a nutshell. What if you could make everyone, at least one person a day, minimum, you could do more, but one person every day as a ritual, you like a skill, like lifting weights, practice you getting present to this other person and the difference they make in your life, and then getting better at communicating that to them. And you'll have some fails, some misses. People are like, yeah, thanks. Like you poured your heart into this letter and like, oh, that's great. Thanks.
They recycle it right away.
Yeah, it's like, did you want it back?
The other thing I wanted to say too is it creates a intimacy as well.
Yeah.
Like I get to know this thing about you now that I didn't know before.
And this is what's in the guidebook. That's all people want.
Yeah.
They just want you. And we, and of course, this has always been human history, but it's easier now than ever to live in a fake world.
Yeah.
So to live in the world of pretense, particularly if you're going to do a video blog, sitting in a room by yourself, staring into a camera, pretending that you look happy, like there's a reason that makes you mentally unhealthy.
Hmm.
Because even if you are happy, it's so artificial
and
divorced from human connection. That's why I'm not just sitting in a room talking to a microphone. People want to connect to human beings, and being a part of a conversation is way more interesting than listening to a monotone, drony, know-it-all yoga dude. So there's a huge impact.
Yes.
In the world. Like imagine if you could do that for a whole month and you have way more than 28 people in your life, but like you get this, there's a swirls of impact.
Out of curiosity, do you recommend like certain people? Like is that something that you're going to include? Like start with your family and then go to the janitor?
No.
Or something like that? Just anybody.
The recommendation in the guidebook is you make a list of 40 people.
Okay.
That just 40 people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know why they're on the list. Just if they come up,
write them down.
If there is a barista that you see every day, put that person on the list. Like, it's just easy.
Mm-hmm.
They're in your life. It's not a category of person. It's a particular client, a particular relative. You put them on the list. And then after you put them on the list, then you write a little something about why you appreciate them.
Okay.
Like who are they for you? And then that most people can get to 15, 20 pretty quickly. 40 can be hard. Mm. Now, originally we did 100. I like 100. It's a fun challenge.
I've actually done that.
Yeah. It before. Was an assignment in the course.
Correct.
So, and that was part of it, right? This is this tool we used to just get you thinking, like, you know more people than you think.
Yeah.
And you can, and we just don't practice thinking about other people.
Yeah. And so you appreciate more people than you think. Exactly. More people than you have, the five people that you're like, oh yeah, this is my mentor. There's way more people than that have made a difference in your life.
And you know it, but it's not something that you typically act on. So this is, right. Now I have you may not write any notes to any person on your list, but it's part of being creative. Most people think creativity is an act of inspiration and brilliant insight. It can be, but every year I get older, I would have hated my current me as a 16-year-old because I only lived on inspiration. But inspiration is like is the slippery slope. It's the drug you want to avoid. You don't write the note when you're inspired. You write the note every day because you said you would. And so the Write Love Month is a structure so that helps you break free of needing inspiration to do a thing that's nice for another person.
Yeah. And how do you, because I know you've talked a little bit about that project the first time, and it would be like 11:50 p.m. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, no.
The poetry, of course.
Or you'd be, you know, mad at her and then be like, oh, I got to write you a love note. So how do you do that when you're not, oh, I love you so much, inspired and
so
ooey gooey?
Well, so there's a few ways to do it. Accountability is good. I held myself accountable by having the website, by saying I was going to do it, by calling it 101. I call it, I am for her. It was a play on I am. Mm-hmm. I am the accent and unaccented part of poetry. And I just like made it this big public thing.
And you had followers at the time, right?
I mean, I was like a tango dancer. Right. So I had like 800 friends on Facebook and I would put all that stuff out.
Right.
That's not necessary. I say that there's no secret. You just the two things that I recommend in the book. Some people really thrive on having a time. That's never worked for me.
Like in the sense of every day at
6 a.m.
Got it.
You wake up. There's a little lull, and you sit down and you do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have for practicing yoga for. Writing, none of that's ever worked for me. A time, having a daily time has never worked for me.
Interesting.
But having a space, I find way more valuable than having a time. So for instance, I went on vacation, very unusual. We were in Wisconsin for a week. I set aside a time, but it wasn't like a specific time. It was until noon. Every morning I'd go to a very specific coffee shop. There's only one in Viroqua, Wisconsin.
The coffee shop.
Yeah, it's a really great coffee. If you're in Wisconsin, go to Kickapoo Coffee. It's amazing. So I would go to this coffee shop and I gave myself a place, a location.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is you make yourself go to the location and then it's an environment that you grow in. So I always wrote at the same computer
mm-hmm.
for the poetry project
mm-hmm.
in the same room, different times. Every time I walked by that computer, there was an opportunity.
Sure.
It wasn't random. So go to a coffee shop every day. Go, you know, set aside like one table, one park bench outside mm-hmm. in your office or something. If it's a time, find rituals that work. Right before sleep or right when you wake up are the easiest. But I say in general... when you make a promise, the promise is there to help you grow. Don't worry if you miss a day.
Yeah.
Don't use the promise to beat yourself up.
Right.
Don't make acknowledging other human beings like this burden.
Right.
And so you can totally miss a day. You can miss a week. But what the promise does is it keeps reorienting you to the you were last week when you cared about it.
Yep.
So you really care.
And caring about other people.
Yeah, you care enough about other people. You said you were going to do Write Love Month, and then you forgot about that for a week. Okay, start caring again.
Yeah.
Because you said you would do it, not because it's you want to be a good person and now you're a bad person. So.
Or that was the right thing to do, and now you're
yeah. This isn't
wrong and missing.
Let's not be moral about this.
Yeah.
So we're going to get there. We made it. So you write this thing,
mm-hmm.
and it makes a huge difference to another person. It also transforms you.
Yes, I was thinking that before, too, because it's one of the things in acknowledging somebody else is noticing the things that you care about.
Yeah.
And, like, why that was important to you. Because for me, it might be really important that you have a green vest on right now. And you always wear my yeah. favorite green vest when I see you.
That's right.
And then I'm like, wow, I really like green vests. I didn't know that. Obviously, in a much more intimate setting,
sure.
you learn even more things about yourself.
Of course. I am an infamous asshole. I'm really, really good at being an asshole. But the reason I'm so good now as a 37-year-old at being a lover of my wife, how I can, it's, I mean, I've literally sat thousands of times and elucidated in English, not just like a phrase, but like sat down and written loving appreciation of her. And I also, one of the other things that I do, we may have projects like this in the future. I mean, I probably take, I mean, on a slow week, I take 100 pictures of her a week. And these are pictures
That's amazing.
Of adoration. These are pictures where I am compelled by something I see with my eyeballs. I'm overcome by the beauty of what I see, and I have to take the picture. And photography is another way is appreciating what is the physical space.
Sure.
It's not a conversation. It's aesthetic beauty, which I'm a huge fan of cultivating an aesthetic taste.
Yeah.
And I love photography, and so I'm very visually oriented.
And Andre's very beautiful, so.
It's super great combo.
Super easy.
Super combo. So I just right-clicked my big 10-terabyte photography backup, the clone that I'm currently putting everything on. I right-clicked how many photos, and it's 880,000 digital photos.
Wow.
Since I started. So, and I went digital in 2003. So 15 years, you can do the math. So I take a lot of photos.
That's a lot of photos.
So.
I don't think anybody in my, like, if you took my entire family combined, all the photos we've taken, yeah. I don't think we would reach that.
Yeah.
Six-person family.
And I shot That's film awesome. For 15 years before right. that. So, there's this appreciation. There's this, I'm cultivating this thing. This is actually super helpful. I do deal with stress, of course, because stress is important and natural. Well, okay, how much stress is too much stress? Where am I in the stress recovery? And I wear an Oura ring now, so I have some metrics, but an easy way for me to tell whether I'm mentally healthy is if I'm taking pictures. And so, it's also, and I could, the exact same thing could be said. I don't use it as a metric, but for sure, if I'm stressed out, I'm not writing notes.
Right.
So
you're not present.
That's right.
And
consider, like, when you're stressed, you slouch, and slouching is stressful.
This entire conversation is how many times can I catch myself looking at Andrew's posture and arching up?
So,
yes.
Sitting for a month, practicing being present to your appreciation, gratitude, love, acknowledgement of another human being changes you. And the reality is they never need to know that. Mm-hmm. You could actually just write the note and transform yourself and transform the relationship. Okay, if that's true, you could actually transform relationships to people who are dead or people you've never met. Like if you didn't know your father or your sibling died before you, like just there's anyone in your life that you're incomplete with, you could write a note to them every day for a month.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do this in the very first year. And so I did it this year. We have a P.O. Box, P.O. Box 55843.
Houston, Texas. It'll be in the show notes.
And it'll be in the show notes and it'll be in the guidebook. 77255 is the zip code. You mail it there. And there's a famous artist here in town. I went to school with named Patrick Grinner. He does these huge installations. There's a bunch of works downtown. He put in a huge installation at Stam Houston State. If you walk into the new HSPVA building, the very first thing you see is like a 30-foot long installation he did.
Cool.
And if you remember, this was maybe 6 years ago, the the tunnel on Montrose. That was his, right in the median. There was this huge sculpture in the median, just in front of Inversion Coffee.
Potentially, if I saw a picture, I'm sure I would
100% recognize it. So, he's a very famous artist now. He's going to build an unopenable box.
Okay.
It's a 24 by 24 by 24. I originally said I'd like a 2 by 2 box. And he's like, and then I was like, well, we should probably make it 3-dimensional. Yeah. Put the cards in the second dimension.
There you go. Exactly.
It'd be cool if you could put the cards in the fourth dimension. We could just put as many as we want.
There you go. Make a computer chip. Mail it. Email it.
So, he's going to build this box. It's going to have a slot to put the mail in, and we won't be able to open it. And if it fills by March, we'll have, we'll see. If we get like 3 cards, we'll wait till next year because I'm paying a lot of money for the box. but
keep using it.
But the plan is I want you guys to mail enough mail to that box. And we'll have it at every meetup. So every week we'll have meetups.
Okay.
And so we'll bring the box to the meetups and you put your letters in. No one's getting those letters out. And at the end of March, we're going to have a party at my house called Burning Box. And we're going to light the box on fire.
Cool.
So there's a way we get complete.
Yeah. What is your, really quick, I think it might be useful, what is your definition of incomplete and complete? Like what's the state change between that?
Yeah. Well, so this is all made up territory, right? So English, as human beings, we don't have good words. If I say ontology, that doesn't, it's so funny that the word we use to describe this, the experience of being human, no one understands it, right? So ontology is the study of being.
I didn't know that.
And even being, mm-hmm. is like, what does that mean? If you read Heidegger, it puts you to sleep because he's like working really hard to try to talk about the experience of being a human being. And this is why, you know, I have a double stack shelf of books on philosophy, and I basically hate reading most of it for how far away from communication their language has to be to just begin to touch the experience of being a human being. And then what do yogis do? They get all woo-woo trying to describe their experience, and then I can't stand that either. So it's hard to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
With that said, like, what's the state and what's the state change? Like, we'd have to define all this stuff. But in general, I'd say you're incomplete with a relationship or something from the past if it ever comes up. Ever. If you ever think about that person, there's some incompletion there.
Interesting.
That's not bad.
Even if it's good or...
Yeah, it's not bad necessarily. But there's there's something there for you. And, you know, like this is for all the high schoolers, eighth graders listening to this. I learned this. Guys are super dumb when they're young. And it took me a long time to realize this. If you ever have this thought, are they flirting with me? Yes. The answer is yes.
Always.
If you have the thought, most of your, you know, the theory would go, most of your brain faculty is smart, is most of what you think of as your brain is way in the background. You are very unconscious of most of it. And so most of your intelligence is in the background too. They're picking up on all kinds of cues.
Mm-hmm.
And once, if there's enough cues and it actually makes it to the tiny like little English bit of your conscious awareness, it's almost for sure, yes.
Interesting.
Does that mean that they care about you? No. It's just they may be flirting. That may be the thing. That was super helpful in high school because, you know, people would flirt with me and I would have no clue because I didn't care and I was dumb. So it's the same thing.
But you have the thought.
Then I would notice I'd have the thought. And then that sort of helped me later, like with Andrea. Like, I got much more confident. I was able to be extraordinarily confident with Andrea because I was present to that. I was excited about her. And even though she said, even in retrospect, like, this guy's bad, I should stay away from him. She still would call me and show up. It's like, yeah, she likes me. Like,
yeah.
And I was right. I could have been wrong, but it turned out to be right. So if something comes up, it's an opportunity to grow. And it's not that you just want to walk around free of everything, but like especially if it's a negative experience,
And you think about it three times a day.
Anything you're constantly complaining about, you're incomplete about. Yeah. And so, for instance, I can make myself totally sad and overwhelmed thinking about my divorce from my first wife. But it never comes up. The memories are there. And one of the things I do with memories is I don't actually dwell on really, really intense memories that I want to keep. So, like, it was the most painful thing in my whole life was when my first wife took my son away from me. And I would cry myself to sleep. And I could easily be moved to tears thinking about that. And I've done the work to heal my relationship with my ex-wife. I just recently actually talked to my, he's now 16. I talked to him about that to sort of give him context about who his mom is for me and why I behave the way I behave and why I don't fight. So like when we got divorced, I didn't even read our divorce decree until like 8 years later. Like I said, I was just generous completely. I said yes to everything. Now, why did I do that? And then the story of how I healed my relationship with my ex-wife and all that work is a beautiful, fun conversation too. I was totally incomplete. I was completely incomplete. And so I just took it on as a project. And every year we do Christmas together. My ex-wife was the best man in my wedding to Andrea. There's never anything negative that literally nothing comes up when I think about my ex-wife. It's not like I'm want to live with her or like I'm pretty excited we're still divorced. Like, like I like my life better now.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get divorced then, but like, oh yeah, I'm happy now.
Sure.
But that I'm so free to be with her. There's not like a little like, well, fuck here. Like you know, like
and anything. Actually, well, speaking of that, you just shared the other day that started from a letter. That you wrote to her.
Absolutely. And
did you give that letter to her?
I did. Crazy instruction. The instruction was be generous. That's it.
Yeah.
And that was such an important genesis that dictated the next 2 years of my life. And I enunciated. And actually, in the process of writing this, I was just sitting, okay, state change. I was in the state of generosity. Mm-hmm. How do you be generous to somebody who used your child against you and said to your face that you are a bad influence and you shouldn't be in his life and wrote if you printed it out, it was 27 pages outlining every reason you're a terrible person and emailed it to every person that she knew and you knew, like hundreds of people. Okay, how do you be generous to that person? Well...
Yeah, it's a good question because we talked about acknowledgement in the Right Love Month structure, but also about this unopenable box. It doesn't have to be people that you have a great relationship with or people that are even alive.
That's right.
Yes, how do you?
If you want to transform relationships, pick some hard people.
Mm-hmm.
People that you know you have nothing to acknowledge and thank for. And just sit and like, what could you? Like, just write a draft. What could you acknowledge them for? How has their presence in your life made you stronger? And I got present to two really important things while writing that letter in 2008. One, I, for the first time, like really got present to how hard it was to be in a relationship with me and how hard she worked. And of course, this is all still in the context. Like if you ask Dana, would you please list in detail everything that happened between 2003 and 2006? I wouldn't agree with a single detail today. But, and so I then didn't agree with a single detail. And I didn't agree with how she behaved. And I didn't agree with her opinions of me. I literally disagreed with what she said I just did. And I got how hard she tried to make our relationship work. And it just made me cry. Just like, it was devastating. How, because I love this woman.
Right.
And I broke her heart. I saw how I broke her heart. Well, that's like an easy thing to apologize for. Like, that sucks. I'm so sorry.
How did you get present to that?
I'm just sitting in the mm-hmm. space of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Who is she? What can I thank her for? And it just came up.
Okay.
It's like, I completely got, you know, I was doing my best too.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm just this evil asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
But given that our two bests still broke her heart. And that fucked me up. Because that's exactly, you know, when you promise that you're going to love this person forever and you're going to make it all work, the thing that happened is exactly what I wanted not to happen. And sitting in that sort of that heartbreak, like my heart was broken thinking about it, I broke her heart, I realized that if she pretends like she's not. This is in 2008. But she's fucked up over our marriage. And she's viewing every new relationship through the prism of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually just made a commitment right then that I refuse that she's going to live. I'm going to be a part of limiting her love in her life. Like, I refuse that her having been with me is going to make her life less beautiful and happy. And so I didn't tell her this part, but I committed mm-hmm. right then. I finished the letter. It was just a page. I committed to be the source of her healing for my marriage. She would be free of any pain for my marriage. And that was a 2-year project.
Yeah, so, pretty big commitment.
Right. So that's just sitting and being present to and writing words and using your brain. And you know you got a good one when you sit down, you got nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Because then there's just space. You just sit in the space and it's going to come or it doesn't come. And you just sit there until something comes. And this is the fundamental truism about our course and the way we teach. You don't know what you think until you say it out loud. Not really.
Yeah.
It's all just feelings and you know.
Jumbled mess.
Preferences and meh. And you feel really strongly about it, but you like, if you had to really put it out and defend it, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So until you really put it, like, just for fun, write out all the reasons you should continue hating that person. It's pretty lame.
Especially if you don't think it's lame at first, my recommendation is read them out loud to yourself over and over and over again until you realize, am I talking about the time they didn't wash the dishes?
Yeah, I'm a 37-year-old man carrying around the fact that she didn't wash the dishes one time 8 years ago. Like, that's how small my life is.
Yeah.
And that's a huge, like, breakthrough. You get free of that. And then you get to be nice to that person again.
Right.
So, the unopenable box for me is this huge upgrade to the whole project because it enables, let's say either you can't write to them or you know you don't want to. It's for you.
Yeah.
Like, can you get some transformation? And I could have had that whole thing and not given Dana any part of that letter. And she still doesn't. I mean, if she listens to this, she'll know. But I've never told her that I've committed to be the source of your healing. I told her. It breaks my heart to think that any part of our marriage is going to fuck you up any other relationship you have. And I apologized for who I was, and I acknowledged her for how hard she worked and all that stuff. But she didn't have to know that I was doing this project. My wife doesn't have to know that I've committed to be the man of her dreams. She does know, but it works just the same. So for me, I love language, and this whole thing is just an opportunity to get really good at putting words together to have this very specific human experience that I think everybody really, really wants. And we don't practice. We're way better at driving.
Yeah.
And slouching. Scrolling.
Double tapping.
And clicking. That's right. Yes,
very good.
My new phone with the curved edge messes up my double tap. Like, for some reason, my thumb, like.
We'll have a whole episode of complaining about phones. So, unopenable box, new thing. I like it. Burning box. I'll be there for that. How can people be a part of Write Love
Month? So, writelove.org, Write Love Month on Facebook and Instagram. We will have a kickoff party in November. We'll do the February in November. February 1st at Noted Design Co. It's 1901 Lawrence Street, which is, it's on the block just north of 19th. 1901, that'll probably tip you off. And I love stores like that. I didn't actually know about this store. They opened in October. And I try not to know about stores like that because I go in and I spend $250.
On awesome paper and pens.
It's paper. Well, paper. Just paper goods. Paper, notebooks, cards. I have way too many cards. Angie and Allison started this, and I actually got turned on. A mutual friend turned me on to the store. They have done some design work for the thing, and we're going to have 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. That Friday. Drinks. We'll have, you can buy cards, paper. I'll bring some stuff. I'm hoping to have a hand letterer, like a calligrapher, show up. We'll see. But there'll be people that are support you, and we'll have all the accoutrement. But mostly this is just a fun conversation. And I run a small business and I love supporting small business. And so it's just such a no-brainer to have these things. So we're going to have meetups at hopefully a couple of different stores, Anvil Card Company on Bissonnette, just north of the village. It's next to Murder by the Book. It's a great, great card company. They actually make their own cards. So they do their own design work. And then there's any stationery shop in the city. We're going to have try to have something there. And I'm encouraging everybody to do their own little meetups. And I've emailed every stationery manufacturer, every letterpress card maker that I know, that I bought from, that I love, every store that like has a big online presence, all the companies that I buy my pens and inks from.
Mm-hmm. Which are a lot.
It's a problem. It's a real problem.
I share this addiction as well.
I just started doing watercolor brush.
Mm. The brush pens?
Hand lettering.
Oh, yeah, brush pens.
That's awesome. Annoyingly good. So I have all these places, and I'm hoping that, you know, there's two ideas after this month. So I want everybody to participate this month. This is not a Valentine's thing. This is just bigger, much, much bigger, and it doesn't involve sugar because I don't eat refined sugar. But I want, after this month, after this coming year, Write Love Month will be a thing we do like as a practice throughout the year. So mm-hmm. You pick a month, start it on May 3rd, and just do a month of every day. And all the support will be there. And then every February, we'll do just sort of the big community thing, mm-hmm. where we have the box and the meetups and the wine, the calligraphy.
The whiskey, of course.
And then I really want it to not be about me, but I'm willing to put the legwork in this year, the next couple of years. And I'm really encouraging everybody that I emailed to, you know, I hand lettered a logo, used the name. I haven't copyrighted it. I mean, I have copyright on it because I invented it and I own the domain, but I'm not trademarking it. I was going to do a nonprofit. I'm not going to start a nonprofit. I'd much rather you guys use it, in particular, all these businesses that I really want to stay in business that have a fucking hard job of, I don't know if you know how letterpress is made, but it's like, it's this laborious hand
thing. It's like a huge machine, right? Yeah, you have to pump it and crazy things.
It's crazy. So I want these guys to stay in business. They're creating art, and creating things is hard. And if they can use that to support their business, that's just like so fantastic. And then I wouldn't have to do anything and it could live even better.
Yes.
So,
And love notes get written.
That's right. And because that's, yeah, we'll talk about, you know, what motivates me maybe in another conversation. But it's not about me, which is why we call it that. But if they're not going to be at any other place, the meetups at 1 p.m. on Sundays will be here at Yoga Better Studios, cool. 2000 Edwards, number 309. It's on the north side of the building. We'll have tables, chairs, and if you come to the meetups here at the studio, I have a huge box of stationery and cards and pens, and I have way too many stamps. And what you do at the meetups is we talk, we share. If you have, I'm super good at suggestions, you're sort of directing your thinking if you need it. But more, just have fun. We'll have drinks most of the time. And if you want to, it's not, you don't write seven letters. You don't come and write seven letters on Sunday. If you want to write letters, what you can do is come and you can take seven cards mm-hmm. for the week. Mm-hmm. It's not about numbers. It's about the daily ritual of getting in this headspace and doing the work and then sharing, and make sure you mail it. Don't just write it and not mail it.
But daily getting present to people in your life.
Yeah. And even if there's only like two people at the meetup, for me, that's a huge success. I'm hoping we have, we'll probably have about 100 people at the party and maybe 20 people at each meetup. There's a few other businesses in the city that haven't gotten back to me, but I'm hoping we have meetups at. And if you want to do a meetup, you're into calligraphy, you know, at your school or whatever, you don't have to ask me, just do it. And then, let me know, and then I'll put it online. I'll put it on the website. Mm-hmm. I'm rebuilding the website a little bit to make it friendlier. And then this will be the last year I make a commitment to do a daily social media thing. So I'll take pictures of the cards that I do. I'll write a little bit about what my focus was that day. And I went all legit this year and did a Instagram account. So I'll put Instagram, Facebook.
Woo!
And the blog.
Stamp of verification and legitimacy.
So legit. I can't quit. Because I am, of course, too legit.
Oh, my God. Can't wait for our pun episode. I don't even know if that was a pun. That was more of a,
it's just a
horrendous
back.
Joke.
Yeah, it's just an illusion.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you for the coffee.
Yeah, anytime.
I bet if we listen to this, we speak faster and faster and higher throughout the if we record another hour, I'd be like,
I need to know how much caffeine is in this someday.
Plenty.
Plenty.
Do you really want to know?
I already had coffee this morning, too, so this is just addition.
Well, I got I got 3 hours sleep, so this is fun.
Cheers.
Cheers. Salute. Slange. Iced coffee on the podcast. So if you like this stuff, yogabitter.com. If you like the style, myyogabitter.com. If you want to see us in person, meet Maria, Andre, and I, and the other seven teachers. 2000 Edwards, number 309, Yoga Better. And we, every year, we're putting out more stuff. We'll have two more books out this year. And this is our inaugural podcast. It'll get more and more legit. We're just putting this out early, specifically for the Write Love Month. And if you're game for one more acknowledgement, I have mostly lived my life, particularly in the last few years, trying to not be famous. Like I'm willing to work hard and I want to impact the lives of millions of people, but I don't want it to be about me. And I'd really rather not have a life that I can't go to Chipotle and eat. I just want to, like, I have nothing to be ashamed about. I'm perfectly, you're welcome to see me pour all of that sour cream on my food. But I just, like, I love that people don't know me. Like, it's a very enjoyable experience.
Besides the solo Chipotle scarfing down.
Yeah, just all over my face. Yeah. And, he puts so much salt. It's just so much salt. And because I, you know, as a tango dancer, I worked hard to be known. Mm-hmm. And first of all, the hustle sucks. And then when you're known, it sucks. It's just not an enjoyable experience. So I've actually designed my life. Another podcast. How do you impact the most people possible? And it's not about you and it's not about fame. And so, and especially because we haven't had a studio, we'll talk about why we opened the studio and what's the difference between our studio and the teacher training. I have so much equipment for all the things that we're working on. It took me about 4 minutes to set up a podcast that sounds like this. So I already have all this stuff. I have all this potential. And there's a very simple reason I didn't do it isn't out of laziness. It's a quality of life. And that I'm doing this is a testament to, I believe in you and I believe in your vision for our business. And because, in the hippie world, we call it juice. You have juice for this stuff. Like I listen to a lot of podcasts. I have preferences on podcasts, but the fact that you just chanted, I want to do a podcast. Like, it's just easy. Okay, we can do that. And we wouldn't be having this conversation without you. And it's just such a no-brainer. If we're willing to do the work and have fun sharing these conversations, the business and everyone who subsequently hears these podcasts and finds rapport with them, these ideas will propagate much, much more because of the juice you bring to these conversations. Did he just say Jews to the con- No. Juice. This is not a written... This really went off the rails. So
I actually can't bring Jews. I don't have any Jews.
Yeah,
to
I don't
bring.
Recommend juice. It's really, really bad for your metabolism. So...
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it was already fun.
Yeah. And thank you for listening. My name is Andrew Dugas. I'm the founder and principal yapper. And
my name is Maria Henning. I am a Yoga Better teacher and believer of the style.
I think you could say you're a senior Yoga Better teacher.
Oh, okay.
And you're CEO of Awesome. What? You're CFO?
Oh, Chief Awesomeness Officer.
CAO.
I'm CAO. Okay, CAO. So I'm Maria Henning. I'm a senior Yoga Better teacher and Chief Awesomeness Officer.
That's right.
Of Yoga Better.
That's right. And for those of you that have actually read my pedagogy book, her acknowledgement at the end of my pedagogy book, we'll talk about more when we talk about teacher training. But she's the reason the teacher training happened in 2014 rather than 2020. So you're talking to a very shaky mover in this conversation. So until next time, ciao.
Adios.
It's crazy that you listened. You're awesome. If you liked what you heard and you want more, let us know with a like on Facebook and Instagram, and maybe a constructive review on iTunes. Big love from Houston, Texas. Ha 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 ha